What up, Baisai? Lessons from the Lave, a live edition, Baruch Hashem. Thank you very much to Yeshivat Lev HaTorah for allowing us the space on wonderful Zoom to start up our shurim. I only had a 1 week lapse. Normally I have a very large lapse, so I'm very excited about that. And I do thank everyone for coming. And as I pointed out, we're going to have a very interesting shiur on the topic of Aliyah. And we do have a little bit of a source sheet, and we'll discuss Aliyah. Obviously, for those that are in America, this week's parsha is Parsha Shlach, outside of Eretz Yisrael. I always, because I live here in Eretz Yisrael, I want to include Korach in it as well. And I do think that there's a centralized theme that we will speak about. So if you give me a few minutes, or more than a few minutes of your time, we're going to share the sheet. And, I see my video came off. And we will take it from there. Hold on a second. Sorry. Doesn't like me. Okay. Let's just share the screen. Here we go. So the topic, as I said, is the interesting topic of Aliyah. And it's called Aliyah Excuses. And I think, you know, in life, we all have our little excuses of why we don't do things. And hopefully those will exit today. Again, I'm being as honest as possible. I'm not giving a shear and telling you have to move tomorrow and you're going to get off the Zoom and say, Rav Hartstein said, I got to, you know, I'm not saying that. But it has to be something that we don't make excuses for. In general, when a person does an Avera, the most important part afterwards of, assessing the Avera that he's done is not making excuses about it. We are a nation that has an amazing father, Avinu Shebashamayim, and we don't make excuses to him. And obviously, if you want to know business 101, so you admit your mistakes and you move on from them. You don't, that person that goes to the parent and says, well, but you know. One of the most famous, the Rambam says, one of the most famous points of tshuva, the most important parts, is the words aval Hashem Nemanachna. The word aval doesn't mean but, it admits. And this year is about admitting that Aliyah is something that could be for everyone, and it's something that we have to consider. And in this difficult parsha of Parsha Shlach, when we speak about the chet of the Meraglim, who actually are not Meraglim, you know, we call them the sin of the spies, they're actually not called Meraglim here in the parsha. The pasuk tells us that they are Shlach Lecha Anashim V'yaturis Aretz. It repeats it many, many times. The word V'yaturu comes from the Hebrew word, la turis aretz, is to be a tourist. And he wanted them to take those glasses and put them on of the tourist glasses. The tourist glasses are the most beautiful glasses. Why? Because tourist glasses are ones that you put on and everything's amazing, right? If you're staying at the Waldorf Astoria, you know, you're staying at the King David, what's bad about it? You know what I'm saying? You're having a great time in Israel. You're having those breakfasts. You're not. And that's what they wanted them to do. They wanted to have that type of experience. What went wrong? So we know that we are told that when the spies come back, and of course Rashi's famous comment right in the beginning where Rashi says, Shlach Lecha Anashim, it's for you. I didn't tell you that you have to do it. And in fact, there are other Mefarshim who say that he said, if you're going to be sending people, you know, you should send women because they have Bina Yisera, and they're the ones who should be sent. But he says, Shlach Lecha L'datcha, Eini Ani Mitzuva Lecha. I don't know if this is such a great idea, but he does. Moshe sends them, and they come back with this very difficult report. And they speak about a number of different things in the report, as we know, that yes, it's true, it's a land flowing of milk and honey, which will be an important point that we'll stress. Ephes is a very, very strong word. I pointed out in this morning's mini lessons from the lathe that the word Ephes is the worst point we could ever say. I hope you've never been called this in your life. Ephes, you are nothing, you are zero, you are nobody. And that's the worst thing anybody could ever say about you. And we don't want anybody to say that. The Ramban tells us that that was such a bad point to call it Ephes, right? You are nothing. You can't achieve anything. So what happens at that point? They don't know what to do. And of course, famously, it says, Vayichu ha'am b'layla hazeh. So I quoted here the Gemara in Tanis, it's actually there are three different Gemaras. The Gemara also in Sota relates the following thing. The Gemara tells us in Tanis and Daf Chavtes, and it says as follows. It quotes our pasuk, that they cried on this night. So it says, well, what happened over here? Vinatu et kulam bayivchu. They cried. Ha'am balayla ha'hu amarava amarabi Yochanan. When was that time? Haya Erev Tisha B'Av. They came back from the terrible report. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. And it was that night that they started crying. Right? So on the 8th of Av is when they started it, as it was going into Shkia, as it came. And that was Tisha B'Av Haya. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem boichim b'chia shalchina. What are you crying for? Ve'ani kovea lachem b'chia ledoros. But now I'm going to give you what I call b'chia ledoros. So if we stop for a moment and we ask ourselves, what do you mean it's senseless crying? It's not senseless crying. It actually is pretty good crying here. Because if you look at the report was consistent with not one lie. They didn't lie. They told the truth about Eretz Yisrael. They said that Eretz Yisrael was a very difficult place. And it was true. But what they saw was actually, to a human being, if I told it over, I said, this is not so pashut. How are we going to live through this? Everything's big. Big fruits, big vegetables. How are we going to do that? Eretz Ochel Es Yoshveh. There's all these funerals. What's going on over here? So it seems like it wasn't a b'chia l'china. What do you mean there was no reason? They were scared to death. You took us out of Mitzrayim. You took us over here. And now we're in the Midbar. We're supposed to go to this amazing land. And now we had spies look at it who were supposed to be tourists, but they... I'm not really sure, but what are they doing that's so wrong? And maybe what's going wrong over here is the following point. In Pasuk Yudal, in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Gimel, we see that it says, Ulama yiyya mevia otam ela aretz hazos, lenofel bachar v'nishvivir v'tupu yiyya labaz halotob lana shuvim Mitzrayim. You know what should have happened over here, he says? We should have returned to Mitzrayim. Things were so much better in Mitzrayim. And this is probably the most chutzpah term you could ever give. Right? And he repeats it. It's in Pasuk Gimel and in Pasuk Dalet. Lama Hashem evi otan el aretz hazos. L'nafel b'cherev, so that we'll die, they'll kill us there because they're so big. V'tov lo nashuv v'mitzrayim. V'yom v'ish el achiv, notnu rosh v'nashuv v'mitzrayim. Let's just get out of here. So Rav Meidan quotes the Ramban. And the Ramban here says, in source number 4, the Ramban says the following. The Ramban says, yeah, I get it. It is a pretty bad thing. You know why? Says the Ramban. Well, let's go to source number 3 for a moment, the Malbin. Vayomer, ubezeh ratzu lahotzi machshava zu el hapoel. Vayomer ish el achiv, achshe chol haraot ba'im aleinu me'et Hashem. Everything that happens from Hashem. Moshe shehu rosh aleinu. They started thinking about this, and if you think about the parsha that we're going to read, that I'm going to be reading this week, it sounds very similar. They said, no, we don't want to return back to Mitzrayim. But who's the one who started this all up in Mitzrayim? You had this guy, Moshe Rabbeinu, and his brother Aaron, who were talking about getting out of Mitzrayim, not being slaves, to take us to the promised land. I want to go to the promised land, the land flowing of milk and honey. Natati Rosh Acher, Shelo Natu Tachas Hashem. And you know who should go back to Mitzrayim? Let them go back. What's going on over here? Rosh Acher Shelo Yehneh Tachas Hashem is exactly what we have in our parsha of Korach. Korach is saying, why are they the leaders of Israel? Why do they get to be the leaders? I'm also from Shevet Levi. I want to be a leader. They said, look what they're doing here. What a horrible leader. Imagine, you know, that's the key point. Lahavdil. The CEO comes and the CEO says, the reason why we're doing all this is that you will one day, we're going to go public. And then we start to see what the future is of this company, and we see the CEO doesn't know what he's talking about. We're not going to be able to go public with this product. This product is XYZ. It's not. So what's going on over here? Says the Malbim. It says the Ramban, the Tamavia, and he says that the reason is the Bata Arts Lamar V'Chola Aretz that Bnei Yisrael basically say, and it's beautiful, in source number 5 is the Torah Aruch. The famous Torah that we know, the son of the famous Rush, Rabbeinu Usher, who wrote the famous magnum opus on what really became, we know, the Shulchan Aruch, but the Torah was first, and he wrote a Perush on the Torah. And he really usually takes, and here you see verbatim, the words of the Ramban, But I have in English. So why did Hashem bring us to the land to fall victim? The people did not describe the land negatively, as had the spies. They were very, very smart. The Ramban says this. This is such a great idea that he brings out. The people knew that Moshe Rabbeinu lived in the palace of Moshe. That Moshe lived in the palace of Paro. He raised him. And he had years in Midian. He knew it was bordering Eretz Canaan. They knew what Eretz Yisrael looked like. He was able to scout it out. So comes along the Ramban and says, they couldn't lie to him. So there had to be something else over here. Moshe himself would have called them liars. They didn't dare say that. And in fact, when the spies came back, it doesn't say they said it in front of Moshe. Because Moshe knew they were just, so he could have shot them down right away. He says, in spite of that, and see what I underline, seeing that the only reason, as he's going to say later on, is this word az, that the Ramban's Lashon is the word az. He's going to use later in Devarim. You know what it was? They refused to ascend. They were afraid of the inhabitants. But the ultimate word here is they felt that there's going to be a milchama. They had no trust in Hashem. But says Rav Meidan, based on this Ramban, it was that they had the chutzpah to say, I want to return to Mitzrayim. Do you not remember what was in Mitzrayim? Are you crazy? Do you honestly think that things were good in Mitzrayim? Azai chutzpah, to think something like that. Mitzrayim was a horrible place. You were slaves in Egypt. Yes, we started out, we were living there, everything seemed to be okay. But how can you go ahead and say that it was a good place? And that was the ultimate chutzpah, the excuse that they made. Now, just to back for a moment, but often the excuses that we make for our aliyah is the place that I live is amazing. The Ramban's saying that they were very careful with their strategy, the Jews, because they knew how smart Moshe Rabbeinu was. So what were they complaining about? They didn't believe, they had no bitachon in Hashem. I don't know anybody that moves to Eretz Yisrael and does it with everything on a piece of paper and say, this is going to go perfectly. If you think that way, you'll never make it in Israel. It's a very, very challenging land. Eretz Yisrael no niknes el b'surim. It's difficult. It's like the Torah. It's not easy. Shiduchim, it's not easy. But someone's not going to get married, you're not going to sit and learn Torah. But to make an excuse and to go ahead and say, well, we're not going to be able to make it here, because it was so much better in the other place we were. In Mitzrayim? That Moshe put his hands up and said, okay, I can't take this. Are you serious now? Mitzrayim was better. How can it be? How is that possible? So let's continue. In Parshas Chukas, in Parshas Koyrach, we say the following. Exactly the same words, really similar. The pasuk says, is it not enough that you brought us to the land flowing of milk and honey to have us here in the wilderness? You brought us out of the land of milk and honey. Hama'at lichem mi'eretz avat chalav u'dvash. What a chutzpah. B'nai Yisrael, do you hear what B'nai Yisrael is saying here? They're saying, you took us out of the land of milk and honey. Now, again, it's not so far from the truth. Egypt is quite close to Eretz Yisrael. So it feeds itself. Rav Moshe Taragin's doing this series of videos, very, very cute videos, where he's going to famous places in Eretz Yisrael. Tourists can't come. So today he went to the cherry fields of the beautiful, beautiful vineyards of cherries, and not vineyards, the cherry trees all along Gush Etzion, very famous for it, in Kfar Etzion, Vechulu, Rosh Surim. And he says, these are the fruits. These are the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. What happened? So they are saying the ultimate chutzpah once again. And the Kesava Kabbalah picks this up. You hear what they're saying in Parshas Korach? One of their complaints is an unbelievable complaint. Why did you take us out of the land flowing of milk and honey? Flowing of milk and honey? Mitzrayim? Do you not remember what happened in Mitzrayim? Even if you had brought us to a land flowing in milk and honey, giving us, but look what you're doing over here. What's the point? And it's interesting, the pasuk uses the lashon, le'enei hanoshim, you're like blind. The chet ha-maragim, they're blind. It's interesting because we spoke about, I think I spoke about last week, the idea why does it, the parsha Nismacha, so the parsha before, Bahaloscha ends with the chait of Miriam, Lashon Hara and Miriam, and it says you can't say Lashon Hara and Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't learn their lesson. And I think I pointed out that, what lesson? This was about human beings. It shows how special Eretz Yisrael is. But there's another parish that says that actually Parshas Korach happened first. But they wanted to do smichas of the Parshas. So imagine this is, imagine that Parshas Korach is even before the Chet HaMeraglim, and they're using this term, oh, Eretz Zavach Chalav Udvash. How can you refer to that land as that? Lahavdil. I don't even know, it's almost Lahavdil. It's like somebody saying, you know what? We really should go back to Nazi Germany. It wasn't that bad there. Wasn't, are you nuts? I understand in 1940s people didn't know, and I get it. But to say that again, and the Chassad of Kabbalah says so beautifully, and he says in Yonah, he says, look over here. B'cholzos lo nuchol la'alot shama ki sibot acherot ya'amod lanu lema'enu lebat haaretz. We're always going to find excuses to move to Eretz Yisrael. I apologize. I know we're in the middle of the shir. I forgot to dedicate the shir so importantly to me, so special and important to me, to dedicate the shir in memory of my grandmother's yurtzeit that's happening right now. Fega Bar Vasvath Kolor Miskamen last week was my other grandmother, Chana Lifshavaz Beryl Doves. And this week, Mamish, this evening, was chus to be able to give it on her yurtzeit itself. My grandmother, my daughter, Batsheva Tzipora, is named for her, and hopefully she'll be a Melech Yosher for us, especially during the difficult time of Corona. And of course, we daven for all the cholim of Corona, and ask the Rabbeinu Shalom to find the help us find the cure that we know Hashem has put out there, so that everybody can get the vaccine and get back to camps and fun and all that stuff. Thank you for that commercial break. Ksava Kabbalah says, we'll always find excuses. And I think this is perfect Ksava Kabbalah. You know, in this Lessons from the Lev, I like to try to include both parshas because I feel bad. People are going to be listening from Eretz Yisrael and be like, Hartstein, what are you doing with Shlach? We had it already. But it's the same idea. We keep making excuses. So now you're going to go ahead, what are you going to tell me? Rav Hartstein, I can't leave America. America's amazing. You don't know what's going on in America, Rav Hartstein. You're not here. These riots are awesome. It's really cool. They're burning down the country. It's really great. You know? Johnny, I heard Johnny is moving to Chaz, right? Right? I can't explain what's going on. Rav Wallerstein had this amazing idea. You know, and I said this before. I'll say it now live. You know, I've been making my own excuses and saying I'm never going to speak about really moving. I'm just going to tell you you should love Eretz Yisrael and one day you should come here. But now I see that what's happened, the progression in America. And you see the anti-Semitism. I don't know if you remember the anti-Semitism of 6 months ago. I don't know if you remember Jersey City, Muncie, New York. We don't remember that. And then Corona happens. And everybody loses all that excuses they had. Well, my business is here. I know someone who happened to, quote unquote, get stuck in Eretz Yisrael. They're very, very lucky, they say, to be stuck with their whole family. They were here for, I think, a family bar mitzvah. They rented out a place in Efrat, and they've been here ever since. And the husband said, I made all these excuses. I don't have a business. My business is not functioning now. And we were only there because of my mother, my elderly mother who lives there, which I couldn't take care of anyway now because I'm not allowed to be near her. So they, I don't know if they're going to move here, but they've said, you know, thank God they were able to extend their lease on the house. So we're always going to make excuses of the Ksav Kabbalah. The Ramban. How can we say that, oh, I need to stay in America because America is a great place? Maybe a year ago you could have said that. You know, you all love Trump. I don't know. But come on now. What's going on now? How can you make such excuses? And one of my favorite sources I love to quote, as you guys know, Harav Bitterman, Torah Wellsprings, this week's. You can print it out. You can see it yourself. He quotes the Sfas Emes, and I looked up the Sfas Emes. My friend who has it, I wasn't, you know, I told this last week, but it's true. I want to learn the yeshiva. The problem is you're not allowed to touch any of the books. Sorry. They have a new rule. So I don't have a Sfas Emes in my house. Maybe not so surprising if you know me. But thank God my neighbor has it. So he showed me the Sfas Emes. And he quotes the Chidushei Arim. He actually mentions this a lot. The idea of how the Meraglim were able to go out if we learned that a person who has Enu Nezikim, right? A person who does a Tzorech Mitzvah, was going to do a mitzvah, we always say, is that, like, you know, you go to Eretz Yisrael, people give you shliach mitzvah money. It's a little bit funny, right? The other way, nobody ever gives you money. You go to America, here's money for the poor people of America. But why? Because when you're at shluchei mitzvah, so it says that a bad thing can't happen to them. It doesn't always apply, and he explains why it doesn't apply, because they didn't have the right mindset. And that's why if they were doing a mitzvah, spying the land for the Jews, how can they come up with a bad report? Because they had the wrong eyes, they had the wrong glasses on. They were skewed. So he says, my grandfather, Chiddush Arim, said, as far as they understood, it was impossible for them to conquer the land. But if they would believe in Hashem, they would know that he's Michutz Lateva. They would be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael. This is the saddest part. This is exactly what the Sfas Emes is trying to explain based on the Chiddush Arim, his grandfather. Eretz Yisrael is not a normal place. If you think it's going to be like America, it's not. Okay, even if maybe we have a Burger King or two. Now we opened up a guy's a new deli right here down the block from the yeshiva. Delicious. I know that's not a chain in America, but still. Right? Kentucky Fried Chicken closed a few. But so you don't have everything. But it's not a normal land. What other lands do you have that we kiss the fruits and say they're holy? Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, even today. So the Chiddush Arim says, they should have known that. Every other instance, God saved us. They came up to a sea, and did they say to themselves, well, that's it, we're all going to die here? Yes, they did. But did they know? Mamad Har Sinai, Yetzias Mitzrayim, come on. It says in Tehillim, the famous, we say this a lot, 121.1, Esai Anai Halarem Miyanyo Vesrei. I raise my eyes to the mountains, from where will come my salvation? This chapter doesn't refer to a person who doesn't seem to have any hope on the horizon, who doesn't seem to have any solution for his troubles. But what does it say? Ezri mi'im Hashem osa shan baretz. When I'm down in the dirt and I can't understand how is this going to work, how is it going to be possible? There's Yesh Ma'ayan. Hashem will find a way. He'll create a solution for me. Aliyah so difficult. So Hashem puts it on a silver platter and says to you, all your excuses you have in America now don't even exist. Nebuchadnezzar, it's sad. How many people don't have parnasa anymore? How many people are not able to do their normal thing? He says later on, Rav Bitterman, he quotes again the Chiddush Arim, says the Meraglim had the good of Bnei Yisrael in mind. They saw the Jews are living in a very ideal setting. They had Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest teacher of all, whose last name was Rabbeinu. I mean, come on. They had clothes. Their clothes grew on them. The food was free and tasted as delicious as anything. Everyone was involved in Avodas Hashem. The Meraglim said, this is a shame. What's going to happen now? They're going to have to toil the land and become farmers. And they'll have no time for Torah and Tefillah. They knew that they sinned by lying about the land and not giving the positive report, but it was for the benefit of Bnei Yisrael. But that benefit wasn't good enough. You know why? And they were succeeded. They kept Bnei Yisrael in the desert for 40 years, he says. But this is not what Hashem wanted. Hashem doesn't need you to give them advice. Their sin is that they made up their own thing. They didn't trust in Hashem's Haganah. Haganah, right? Sva Haganah l'Israel, that Hashem will save us. That was the sad part of this whole situation. And it was mamash a crying shame. It was a crying shame. So let's end something I just saw today. We have a wonderful person a few doors down, Rav Ronis, Rav Chamil Ronis, who writes every week for the Torah Tidbits. And he showed me what he wrote this week, the Pnine HaRav of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Schechter quotes this amazing letter in the Pnine HaRav. This amazing letter that this woman wrote, a young girl wrote, Rav Soloveitchik. And he replies to her, where he basically says, how is it possible, Rav Soloveitchik, that you wrote the beautiful letter, Kol Dodi Dofek, telling us that Mashiach is on the way, and you didn't make Aliyah? And Imamish bears his heart. He starts by saying, I'm Mivakesh Licha. Alasher, Rav Soloveitchik's Hebrew was amazing, even though he wasn't Israeli. He says, I'm in a very, very sorry state. Kaisha Haile Alai, V'adayin Kashel, when I write this, Shakuani Ba'avelus Al Mavet Rayoti Chaviva, that my wife died. But you know what he writes? I accept your Tochacha. I sin towards the land that I didn't move here. It's clear to the many factors that serve me and hold me back, but I have no excuses. I'm not justifying myself. I'm guilty. The chain is around my neck, he writes. And he says, I planned with my wife to come here, and now my wife is not alive anymore. And you know what happens when you plan, God laughs? That's the whole idea, he writes. Nebuch, he said, it's so sad. that it didn't happen. So my charge to you is, in the week that you'll be doing shlach, and I'm sure purposely, we already read shlach because we're the people living here, but I certainly take the mussar from it that I should be very careful what I say about this holy land. But you can't make any excuses. You should look at your ability to become more holy and moving to Eretz Yisrael and saying, I'm not doing the right thing. How can it be? God's giving me all these messages. All these crazy things are happening in the country I live in. I thought Corona was bad. I thought anti-Semitism was bad. Now I don't know what's going on. And the riots, but Rabbi Yisrael, if you know what Black Lives Matter really means, research it. No question, it's horrible, the injustice, the murder of an innocent person. But don't think that this is something that's a good thing. They talk about apartheid Israel. They're the one who came out with the letter. Why are all the Ivy League schools have so many Jews? We're living in a very scary time. And when somebody asks you why you're not making a lot, don't make an excuse, as Rav Soloveitchik says. Say, you're right. It's on my list. It's on my bucket list. Right? Somebody comes up to you and they say, I notice you're not wearing tzitzis today. So you go, well, it was hot outside. No. You're right. The greatest answer you can give. Aval Hashem Nachal doesn't mean but. No buts. Aval, indeed. I'm guilty. It's on my list. I need to move to Eretz Yisrael. I need to. I got to figure it out. It's not for now. I get it. Again, I'm not telling you to don't make an excuse for not making Aliyah. You haven't made Aliyah yet. You're young. You're this. Okay. But don't. Don't make an excuse. Say, I know this is not right. In your avodas Hashem, if we make excuses why we don't learn, why we don't daven, why we don't do this, that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to say, Aval, Hashem Anachnu. Moide ani lifanecha. You wake up every morning. I always like to use those for it. I think it's from Rav Hirsch. Rav Schwab quotes. Moide doesn't just mean I'm thanking Hashem I woke up. It's moide b'mixas. I admit to you, God, that yesterday wasn't perfect. Today's going to be even better. And today, maybe I'll appreciate Eretz Yisrael even more. I just want to end with the final story that Rabbi Ronis tells in the Torah Tidbits this week. And I said to him, did it really happen? Right outside my block, Mamish. A few meters away. I can't get up. They're close. Okay, fine. The garbage men come and they're picking up the garbage. And Rabbi Ronis notices that unfortunately there was some mess that was left. Bottles were strewn all over. And the gentleman got out of the truck and he started lifting up the mess. I just want to... And Rabbi Ronis looks at the guy and he gives him a yashkoyach. He calls out from his window. And he says, yashkoyach, look what you're doing, that you're cleaning up extra. You don't have to do this. So the garbage man answers him and says, what are you talking about? He says, admas koydish we're on. Don't you know? Don't you believe that the land is holy? You have to take care of the land. You have to sweep the land. It's not sweeping the stoop in Washington Heights, in L.A., in West Hempstead, wherever you live. No. This is Eretz Yisrael. I got to pick up the glass here because this is the Admas Kodesh. I always tell my kids this. You moved here now, no littering anymore. You're creating a capital fence when you litter in Eretz Yisrael. It has to be beautiful. That's the idea, Rabbi Yisrael. Mirz Hashem, we should be zeicha to appreciate Eretz Yisrael, the messages that Hashem is sending us. And it should be something that's on our list, and we should stop making excuses for not living in Eretz Yisrael. And we should be as Goyal Tzedek, the Meher V'Yameinu, not only be here for the coming of Mashiach, but greet Mashiach through living here. I will give you the bracha, Mirz Hashem. It should be part of your life very, very soon.